Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR. Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The pandemic is not over. Neither are the strides being made to fight it. But the information we're receiving can still be confusing, especially when it comes so fast and so furious over the past several weeks. It's time for another COVID-19 update. And joining me to talk about the latest information and answer your questions is Dr. Reed Tuckson. He is the co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. As always, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, brother. It's a pleasure to be with you and a privilege to be with your audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So even before we get into some of the big headlines, I want to share this with you. This just came over about a minute or so ago, and I want your thoughts about this. The high school homecoming dances in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, have been canceled because of concerns about the spread of COVID-19. This just coming across our news wires about a minute or so ago. Superintendent George Arlotto says he hopes the dances can be held later in the year. The schools are still permitted to hold some traditional Spirit Week activities such as parades, pep rallies, and homecoming athletic events. Other outdoor celebrations are also allowed, such as cookouts where social distancing is easier. But the homecoming dances have been canceled in Anne Arundel County. Okay. Your thoughts about that, Doc?
I think it's a very rational decision. First, obviously, we want our children to have their childhoods back. And we are, all of us, completely aware of how important these social moments are in the life of our children. So I'm glad that they are moving to make sure that they make up for that at some point when things are a little more clear. However, I don't think that anyone should be very upset with this decision when we look at the data. The number of young people that are now in hospitals from COVID, and it's now representing almost 30% of the hospitalizations in the country. And so we know that we are experiencing this very aggressive transmission of this virus. We know that it is transmitted by being close together. We know that these kids at a dance are going to be indoors, hollering, shouting, spitting on each other, interacting with each other very intimately as they dance close together, and you can be pretty sure that they're not going to all be wearing their masks. So I think this is a mature and rational decision. I hope that the school system will use it as a teachable moment to teach the values of what it means to be a civilized young adult and our responsibility from as individuals to each other. I think it's a very rational decision. I support it.
Did you watch any sports this weekend, Dr. Tuckson?
And with the same concern that comes with your question of all those people in the stands hollering and screaming, packed side by side. And yes, I saw that. And Harold, it makes me concerned for what it's going to mean for transmission. And we'll have to start looking at the contact tracing data to see if, in fact, this is significant or not. I sure hope not, like everybody else. I enjoy sports, but I would never be outside, even outdoors, with all these people crammed together, screaming and hollering, turning to each other, and exulting it. Did you see that play? And hollering and spitting in somebody else's face, and you don't know who that person is. These are heavy riffs to enjoy a first down.
Yeah. And I think that you make an excellent point as it relates to, you know, contract tracing data and what we may see down the road, and kind of balancing that with the economics that have always been the other side of the concern in this public health debate. I think now, could it be good news if we don't see any major increases coming out of these outdoor gatherings, stadiums and the like, concerts and the like. And if we don't, from your perspective, what might that mean?
Well, I think it will certainly teach us a great deal as you, and I'm so glad the way you phrased the question. These decisions that we have to make are heavily nuanced decisions that must factor in not only the health of the public, but also the economy and the way in which we are able to interact as social beings. So there's a lot at stake. I hope that it will teach us that we can have these kinds of events, but I am also aware of, for example, the Sturgis motorcycle rally that occurred about a month or so ago, where you've got all these people gathering with their motorcycles. They do this every year. There were an extraordinary number of cases that resulted from that, and those cases wound up infecting people in four different states. And so we know that this is not without risk. And we need to be careful. So, yes, I hope that it shows that we can do these things because I want to enjoy these things just like everybody else does. But I would just advise this to everyone listening. If you want to take that risk, hedge your bet. You make sure that you're one of the few people in the stands with your mask. And if you can find a way not to be stuck up under everybody and distance a bit, I would urge you to do that. That just is common sense.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a COVID-19 update with Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Tuckson, on these mass gatherings, entertainment venues, and sports events, in a lot of cases, you have to show proof that you have been vaccinated. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how positive a move is that, in your opinion, in that if you don't have proof, you can't get in?
I think this is one of the most important tools that we have available. Let's remember, as we put this into context, we have been now for months and months and months giving people the evidence and the information. We have been begging people, not only for their own health, but for the sake of the health of the people who live in their time and space, their community, the people who you are around, your family, people at work. We've been begging people. We've had data after data after data proving that these vaccines are extraordinarily safe and very effective at doing what we have asked them to do, which is to prevent serious illness, hospitalizations, and death. We know that it does what it's supposed to do when we look at the absolute requirement, keep us from being in the hospital and dying. It is doing that at rates that are unbelievable. All of this is now transparent. Despite that, there are still a significant number of people who refuse to get vaccinated for whatever their own personal reasons. And as a result, this pandemic is moving forward without remit. It continues to roll through our society, sickening more and more people every day now and bringing our country back to almost close to another one of our standstill crises. So to ask someone to be vaccinated and then prove that they have is one of the few tools left to save the country. And I think that it is extremely important that we do that, along with the very controversial issue of mandates. But at some point, you've got to pull all the tools out when you're at a place where you are about to wreck your entire country once again.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are having another COVID-19 update, giving you information that you need to know to make sure that you can be safe. Let's go to Ray, calling from Southeast D.C. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So, as I was telling the lady, I have a 5-year-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is, and I work, and I'm a federal contractor also, my issue that I have is that they are making this vaccination mandatory in schools and in federal place and workplaces. Don't have no problem with it. But my issue is that the people that's making it mandate, they don't even have to be follow that same rule. So why would I trust that I have to be vaccinated if they don't even have to be vaccinated or follow that same rule? And then they going on about the country with these, like you say, these sports events, these concerts, all these venues, and we still can't control this pandemic. So why we got to follow that same rule?
Let me ask you, Ray. You said the people who are making the vaccines mandatory.
The Congress and so forth. I saw something in there where though they don't have to be. They don't have to be. It's not mandatory for them to be vaccinated.
So, Dr. Tuckson, do you want to comment on that first?
Well, I'm trying to understand him better as to which people he's talking about. So, for example, the people that the decisions that were made by Biden regarding the mandates of the federal workforce and those who are contractors. Biden is vaccinated, and so are all the people that are working for him. In the healthcare industry, it is mandatory almost in all of our hospitals around the country. All of the leadership of American medicine, every single major medical and hospital organization has called for mandatory vaccinations, and all of them are vaccinated. So I'm not quite sure of what you're saying, but more importantly, and I'm so glad that you called to talk about the fact that you have this young grandchild.
Yeah.
I want you to really be aware of the number of our children who are now infected and who are in hospitals and dying. Those numbers are now at frightening levels. So if you care, and I know you do, about the health of your grandchild, you're going to want to make doggone sure, regardless of whether Bobby is in charge of the mandatory or not, whoever these people are, that doesn't matter. What you, it would seem, would have to care the most about is making sure that the people around your granddaughter are vaccinated so that you do not put your granddaughter's life in jeopardy. So I would not worry so much about whether or not you think this person or that person is vaccinated themselves. Make sure that anybody around your kid is vaccinated and leave the mandatory concern alone.
Yeah. And Ray, thank you so much for your phone call. And let me just say to the point about the 5-year-old, which brings up one of the headlines over the past several days. Pfizer announced this week that its vaccine. This is Pfizer, and we have to be really, really clear about this, Dr. Tuckson, that Pfizer said that the vaccine would be good for children between the ages of 5 and 12. But obviously, Pfizer does not have the final word. But what does that announcement by Pfizer mean?
Well, it is certainly an important piece of information, and you must put it in context. I just want to give you and our previous caller just the reason why I'm so focused on this issue as being important. From September the 2nd to the 9th of this month, 243,000 children tested positive for COVID-19. So let's just remember what's going on here. Children under the age of 18 make up 22% of the population, and yet we are seeing now a much greater percentage of them being infected with the virus. And so Pfizer's self-reporting data is important, but let us also not get ahead of the curve, Harold. We have to understand that this is a press release from the company.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been verified yet with the rigorous scientific reviews that I trust and that everyone in my position has to trust before we would make a recommendation to the public. So let me just close that answer being very clear. Anything that I say to your audience has got to be based on what we know from the science. I cannot stand here today and tell you or your audience that what Pfizer has reported is true or sufficient or adequate to make a decision yet on whether we should give this vaccine to kids that young. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, Pfizer says Pfizer says you're good. Okay, so now all of that data needs to be moved to the next step, to the FDA, so that, you know, the scrutiny can be as serious, as severe as possible. And, you know, that, you know, those FDA panels and the like can give it, you know, the serious scrutiny, and then they can move forward, because Pfizer can say one thing, but after those FDA panels, the scientists and the like, they can come back and say no.
And what's so important, Harold, because so many of the questions on the mind of the audience is how do we know something to be true and whether or not we're being transparent about the data? And so it's important to know that there are at least three major hurdles that that data is going to have to go through. First, an evaluation by the FDA. Second, by an external advisory committee of international experts and who are absolutely top of their game. And then third, a panel from the CDC, which has to weigh in as well. So there are multiple stages before anything is finally decided.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Loretta, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Loretta. What's on your mind?
I just have a couple of questions. One, we're being told how many people are dying, how many people are hospitalized, and we're not, for me, getting information as what is a spike protein? What is messenger RNA? Why is it that... And I'm a contractor as well. Why is it that non-vaccinated people have to be tested while vaccinated people do not have to be tested and they can also test positive? So there's a little discrepancy there. And lastly, if it was such a understood, I don't want to say phenomenon, but if it was an understood thing, why does the medical profession have to be mandated? And why don't they readily take it? I know medical. I just came from the medical field, and I know people that are not going to take it, and that will lose their job.
Hold that point, Loretta, because you said quite a bit, and I need to take a break. So please do not hang up. Also, we have Rainer, who is on the line calling from Maryland. Please don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. We're going to answer your questions. Also, Tony, just calling from D.C., don't hang up. We're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. We're taking phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, the app. Don't forget to download it to your smartphone, and you can hear this program in its entirety without interruption, as well as on 98.3 FM. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We have another COVID-19 update for you, as we have seen a lot of new information come our way over the past couple of weeks. My guest is Dr. Reed Tuckton, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. Lines are open. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Loretta, who, among other things, is obviously an exceptionally well-educated woman. And with that, she has a lot of questions. I'll let you start, Dr. Tuckton. We may need for her to repeat some of what she was asking about. I do remember you said something about messenger RNA, Loretta.
Go right ahead, doctor. Thank you, my brother. So, first of all, thank you for the questions. Number one, that the virus has what we call a spike program, particles to the virus's shell, and all that is letting us know that this is just a feature of the physical presence of the virus. It has these little spikes, and it is those spikes which enable the virus to be able to be effective at getting into your system and attacking you. So that what the vaccine is able to do is to attack the spike protein and neutralize its ability to be able to infect you. That's what this is really all about. The mRNA is a type of a vaccine that enables our body to receive instructions to specifically make antibodies against that spike protein. And so that is what the virus vaccine is doing. It is a way of inserting a blueprint that enables our body, without affecting your DNA or any of that, it doesn't go into where your DNA is, but it enables our body to make the antibodies that are specific to the COVID virus. Thirdly, there are, yes, you are completely correct, that there are some people in our hospitals who, for whatever reason, employees of hospitals who are making the decision not to be vaccinated. However, 95%+ of all the physicians in this country are supportive of being vaccinated and are vaccinated. So physicians are overwhelmingly vaccinated. There are some people who in other fields in hospitals who are not. However, I would hope that it would be important for you to understand that every single hospital organization and medical organization has called for the mandatory vaccination of all their employees. So there is no doubt within the medical profession about the importance of being vaccinated. And finally, you asked about testing, and it is not quite accurate what you said, whether or not you are, so the people who are being tested are people who are either because they have been infected and are showing signs, and or people showing signs, we want to make sure whether they are infected with COVID or they have some other disease like flu or whatever. And so it depends on the person. Also, there's testing going on to make sure that we are aware of those who are getting infected, what strain of virus are they being infected with. And unfortunately, what we now know through that testing is that 95%+ of all the infections in this country now are from the more deadly Delta variant as opposed to the original strain. And that is really why now we're having so many people in hospitals. And that is why even people now in many, many states around the country, and this is an amazing thing to believe, that we are now rationing care and creating death panels in our hospitals to decide who gets the last bed in a hospital, whether it's this person or that person, because literally people are turned away from multiple states today in the United States of America. People are being turned away because there is no bed for them when they have a stroke, a heart attack, or need emergency surgery, because all the beds are being filled with people with COVID. That is the reality of American life today. And it amazes me that there are still people out here who are prepared to turn their back and let this continue day after day and doing nothing on their part to do their part to prevent this.
And I will add, Loretta, in reference to your first two points about, you know, the spikes and the messenger RNA, the biology of COVID-19, we did hear a lot about that. And I'm speaking as a journalist, as a news person. We heard a lot about that in the very beginning of the pandemic. And I'm talking about the evolution of information. We heard a lot about that during the first 6 to 7 months when information organizations, news organizations, whether you want to talk about MSNBC or CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, whoever. There was a lot of information about that because there needed to be some foundational delivery of information to understand what was happening. But I would say, as it relates to the evolution of the information and how that information is delivered. We're kind of beyond that point now. And I'm not saying that it's not important, but in the long term, we are now almost we're getting close to 2 years into this pandemic. And the only thing that people really need to know is this stuff makes you sick. It can kill you. There's a vaccine, and there are changes to this, you know, to this disease. And so getting down into the very weeds of it, yeah, there are some of us such as yourself and even for me and even Dr. Reed who are still very, very interested in that stuff. But for the lion's share of people, they don't care.
Oh, you know. Can I ask one last question?
Real quick, and then I need to go to someone else.
Okay. My one last question is, the people that have been vaccinated, can they be infected by COVID?
Which was one of my next questions about breakthrough cases, but please go right ahead.
So that's a great question. And the answer is, yes, it is true that people who are vaccinated can, on occasion, be infected. And as Harold has said, it's called breakthrough infection. But let's make sure that we are very clear on this point. We have always known that the goal of the vaccine is to keep us from becoming severely injured, sick, and hospitalized or dying. We have never said that the vaccine will totally prevent you from ever catching COVID. What it's doing is keeping you from dying of COVID or needing to be in the hospital. And our data now is overwhelming that well over 90% of the people who are hospitalized today from COVID are unvaccinated. So we absolutely know that the vaccines are doing what they want. And let me just really, really sneak in because it'll probably come up later. That's why the decision that was made around the booster shots was so important. The decision was made not yet to give Americans, the general public, a booster dose. And the reason is because the protection that we now have from the first doses that we get of our vaccine are still adequate to do the job. And we are not convinced yet that we need to go the next step to give the booster. So you've got all the data there that is telling you that the durability of the response to the vaccine is holding up significantly.
Loretta, thank you so much
for your thoughtful questions.
Let me go to Rainer. Rainer calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was just speaking to a young lady. I was saying I actually also had COVID last year. It was really severe, but I thank God he's carried me through. I just don't understand these people that are talking about they don't want to get the vaccine because they don't know what's in it. And when I think that when we were younger, remember we had to get shots for the measles, shots for chicken pox, and we took it. We didn't know what was in it then. But now all of a sudden, because we have this COVID crisis, now everybody, I don't know what's in there, it's going to kill me. Me, I'm thankful for that. I also had questions about the booster versus another shot. I am 64 years old, definitely going to get another shot if I need it, or also a booster if it comes about. My thing is, everybody has their right to think what they want, do what they want. However, you see it's affecting our children. It's actually, you know, just going on and on and on. If you don't want to protect yourself, that's fine, but protect the children and protect me. I want to live. I still go places with my mask on. I go to people's house with my mask on. And unless they ask me or say to me, you're okay, you can take it off, I still have my mask on because I'm thinking about everybody else. And at some point in time, this must end. However, if we want to continue to be ignorant and ignore the fact and point fingers and blame instead of getting the updated information and processing it, then this is going to go on forever. Mm. So I thank the doctor here for explaining. But again, people do what they want to do. And that's sad when it affects everybody else.
Rainer, thank you for your thoughts. Your comment, Dr. Tuckson, Rainer said quite a bit.
I think anything that anybody else says would diminish the power and the light of her comment. I want to leave it standing right by itself.
I think the technical phrase is she said what she said.
or she dropped the mic.
Right, there you go. Rainer, thank you so much for your phone call. Tony, calling from D.C., thank you so much for your phone call. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Harold?
I'm doing good.
I just wanted to, well, I'm going to speak on a little bit like what she said, because I contracted COVID in May of this year, and I wanted to give the doctor an opportunity to maybe enlighten me on some things, because from what I've understood about viruses, when you have a virus, once you contract the virus, you always have the virus. There is no cure for a virus. So with COVID being a virus and me contracting it, what would it benefit in me actually getting the vaccine if I already have the antibodies in my system? And is there something different in this vaccine versus all of the vaccines we had? Like she said before, if you got measles, if you took the vaccine, if you caught the measles before you got the vaccine, then there wouldn't be no reason for you to get the vaccine because you already have the antibodies in your system. So what's the difference with COVID and the reason why people who have already contracted COVID are being pushed to get the vaccine?
Let's see what Dr. Tuckson said. That is such an excellent question, Dr. Tuckson.
Yeah, it is. And first of all, let me just say that I'm grateful that you and our previous caller both have survived your experience with COVID. Thank God for your health. And you are absolutely right that there are multiple kinds of viruses in this world, and we respond as human beings in different ways. So that you mentioned like measles and polio and those things, where you can get vaccinated for those things and it will last, you know, for the lifetime. Flu is an example of a viral illness where you have to get a vaccine every year because the virus changes and mutates. For your case, we know that people will mount an antibody response to COVID when you become infected, but the durability, the long-lasting nature of that is not nearly as long as if you had been vaccinated. And so the reason that we are urging even people like you who have some initial immunity, having made your own antibodies against this, the durability of that response is not adequate to protect you months down the road. We know that the vaccines will do that. So that's why it's like a belt and suspenders strategy for you. Even though you've been infected, we are urging you to get vaccinated so that you will be protected over a much longer period of time. That's the difference here. This is, some viruses act in some ways, some in others. Some vaccines work permanently, some don't. This is one like the flu where it is not a complete lifelong protection. And it means ultimately that as we continue with this pandemic, since we'll probably not be able to stamp it out because of so many resistant people who just will not get on the program, this will probably be living with us for years and years to come, and it will probably mutate and alter its form down the road, and we may very well see that we will have to have new vaccines to be able to deal with new variations of this virus. So, my brother, all that says to you, get vaccinated and make sure that you're protected for a much longer period of time than you would be from your natural immunity.
Okay. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eugene, calling from Maryland. Eugene, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, you're quite welcome. Are you able to hear me clearly? I'm driving.
Yes.
I just want to say I am vaccinated, and my wife is a doctor, which means, of course, I didn't have much choice. But my comment has to deal more with the way doctors speak about the certainty of this vaccine. Even though I'm vaccinated, because this is a serious public health situation, and I understand that, and that's why I did it, and life isn't about me. It's about the greater good. But I do have a problem with doctors with such a type of certainty saying the vaccine is safe. I mean, we have to keep in mind, this was an expedited process. Most vaccines take years and years of testing and trials
and various other things to know the long-term effects. We really don't know, and there really isn't even what I can say in 3 or 4 or 5 years. What does vaccine may do to us? We hope for the best. We hope for good results. You always hope for good results, but for anyone to come out and say it's safe long-term, this isn't. I just don't think it's a good thing to come out with. It's fine to say we need it because the situation is very serious, but I don't think we can go as far as to say we know for sure because we don't. It's just too early.
Well, I appreciate the point and the thoughtfulness of it. And by the way, thank you for being vaccinated. there is no way, you're absolutely right, there is no human being on earth who could ever say to you that we know for sure anything that is going to happen to anybody in 4 to 5 years. Or wait, so the notion is, first and foremost, if the argument is I will decide to wait 5 years before I have the certainty to get vaccinated, put that in the context that across the world we are averaging now 9,000 deaths a day.
Right.
That one out of every 500 Americans, one out of every 500 Americans has died of COVID. One out of every 500. So
right.
What is a theoretical idea of saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen 5 years. I know one thing. If we don't get people vaccinated today, we know what's going to happen. Now, the other thing.
That's why I prefaced it by saying this is a serious problem. Because I understand that. I understand.
No. We're on the same page. And I'm just saying but you're speaking to those people who, and I really appreciate your point, that you're speaking to those people who are saying, let's wait. And
right.
The other thing that I want to make sure people understand is that out of the tens of millions of people around the world who have been vaccinated, we are not seeing any level of really significant problem. And we know from history that any trouble that we would be having that would be significant from vaccines produced to fight diseases would have occurred, and we would have seen it by now. That is what we learned from the history.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I brought it to you, because I figured you understand where I'm coming from, and that's why I prefaced it by saying I'm vaccinated and my wife's a doctor.
Yeah. And I would also recommend if you have any questions, ask your wife. just to keep your household happy.
And I tell you what, you're a very smart man for saying that, because that's really what it comes down to. But I'll say another thing about the vaccine. Comedian Tony Rock said, you know what, when it comes to black people and getting vaccines and the logic of, I don't want to put that in my body, he said, half of y'all in the crowd eat chitlins, drink alcohol, and probably smoke marijuana. But you don't want to get the vaccine?
Well, I think here's a bigger issue, and I said this during our last COVID update. And this, in I believe it was 97 or 98, when Pfizer came out with Viagra, you didn't hear any of the pushback. I joke, but I don't joke.
But here's what's interesting about Viagra. That crosses gender lines, because I don't think women are going to complain about that either. Do you?
Well, that, and I mean, in all seriousness, yeah. I don't remember in covering the Viagra craze. There was a pandemic of ED.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when Pfizer came out with Viagra, and when there were news reports,
and after
the FDA approved it, and the pill was at that time $100 a dose.
It was hot, man. It was a hot.
There, no pun intended. But my point is that everybody was trying to get it. No one complained about what the possible long-term side effects. No, you didn't hear anybody complaining about, I don't know what this is going to do to me in 5 years. I want to see what it's going to do to me in 5 minutes or 50 minutes.
Or 50 minutes.
And so And this was not life or death.
Correct. You're right.
And so now we are in a life or death situation.
For sure. For sure.
And we have a Pfizer and we have a Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, certainly. But yeah. Let's just take those two out and just talk about Pfizer. Now Pfizer has something that could likely save your life.
Literally, yes. Literally.
And allow you to what? If you need to use Viagra.
To bring it back home.
Okay, and we have people complaining. There needs to be a study, Dr. Tuckson. How many how many men who refuse to take the Pfizer vaccination but take Pfizer Viagra?
It's really. I mean, this is a really. You're sort of doing a tongue in cheek, light.
Yeah,
it,
it's serious, and I think that the people need to seriously consider, you know, their priorities, and where we are, because I carry my vaccination card around like I carry my driver's license.
Wow, what a great role model. And by the way, just again, keep people in context. I just really want, even as we're joking about these things with real seriousness,
yeah.
I think we need to understand, and let's not forget, if you have an undying love for black people, you have to be concerned. The hospitalizations are growing fastest for black folk all across the country. We are now 3 times the risk of hospitalization and twice the risk of death. So for all those who want to continue to play conspiracy theories and all kinds of convoluted reasons why not, how do you feel when you start to realize that we are dying because of our failure of our own selves to protect our own life? This isn't the Ku Klux Klan. This isn't the Proud Boys. This isn't racist white America that is putting black people's lives at risk. It is ourselves putting our own lives and our families and communities at risk. We are doing this to ourselves. But I bet you we will still find people out there, when it's all said and done, who will find some reason to blame somebody else for why we have these statistics about not being vaccinated, even though there is no barrier. You can get it anywhere. It is free. Doesn't cost you a dime. All you got to do is just do it.
Yeah. Eugene, thank you so much for sharing in the conversation with us. I appreciate your time. One thing, Dr. Tuckson, that I think is really critical when I've gone into the drugstore over the past couple of weeks or so, they've been asking me, do I want a flu shot? I mean, pre-COVID, we would have, you know, conversations on this program about the flu shot. I typically wait until the first week in October so that it lasts long. And the listeners know I'm a flu shot person. I don't miss a flu shot. What are your concerns, however, about dealing with COVID and flu and flu-like symptoms as we leave summer this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and begin to move into the fall and winter?
I am deadly terrified of the reality that our hospital system in America is essentially close to being broken. That, as I mentioned earlier, it is in multiple states around the country, you can't even get a bed if you are having a major health crisis because they're filled up. The workforce in our hospitals is exhausted. These people are working 2 shifts, 7 days a week. They are tired, they are worn out, and there's no relief in sight for them because every other community that you would draw nurses in from are maxed out for them so that there's no relief pitcher available to come in and to help. So if we wind up having a flu epidemic on top of this, which happens every year, there will be so many places and then will be absolutely maxed out in terms of beds, and the hospital staff is worn down. So please, for those reasons alone, we need to stop the flu epidemic in its tracks before it gets started, and that means getting the flu shot. And then for you as an individual, you don't want to be walking around with flu. You don't know whether you got COVID or not. You don't know whether you got flu or not. People that have flu will have weakened immune systems, making them more susceptible possibly to getting COVID. No, I would say to you, first week in October, that's what I'm doing. I get my flu shot first, second week in October religiously. And that is the only common sense that makes sense for you, but also it makes sense for our health system. I am telling folks, you need to pay attention. You assume that your hospital is going to be there for you. You can no longer make that assumption in the middle of this pandemic.
Let me grab one more phone call. AG, calling from Crofton. AG, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what's on my mind is I have a couple of questions to ask.
Real quick, I'm short on time.
Which has not been asked and nobody has answered it. The United Nations that are propagandizing about this COVID-19 have not been able to explain to us how it came about. What was the aim? We learned initially that in Wuhan laboratory, they were trying to do something and it leaked out and then spread out this disease.
Okay, so that's the first question. What's the second one? I've got less than 2 minutes.
Okay. What were they trying to achieve before it leaked out? Because every poison that is formed, the cure of that poison comes from the formation of the poison. They have not been able to say this is what we want to achieve, other than people are suspecting that they want to build up a cell inside the body of human beings so that they can control the human beings the way they like in terms of they want to create peace. So this is a question that must be answered. You don't force people into receiving things they don't know about. The only person that brought about a suggestion is Bill Gates. Bill Gates now came up.
Okay, let me just, I don't know whether or not you can even begin to address the origins of this. CNN tried to talk about that in a special earlier this week, and the end result was, we don't know.
And the answer is that we're not completely sure, and everything else is conjecture. But the one thing that we're not unsure about is the virus is here.
Yeah.
So why are we playing around with this? People need to protect themselves. And listen, my brother, there are across this world 4.6 million people who have died. So let's just stop the death rate and we'll figure out all that business about where it came from later. As far as the specificity of the response, the vaccines that we are making are extraordinarily specific to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to disable the ability for the spike protein on this virus to infect your body. It is not conjecture. It is specific. Thanks for your question.
And there you go, AG. Thank you so much. Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. We appreciate you talking to us as always.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, September 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.